responsive reading is from the New Testament and on the theme of service. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. For I have given you an example, and you should do as I have done to you. If a brother or sister be made a destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, so touch the hearts of these thy men, that they will be hungry with the hungry, that they will feel in prison with the prison. So touch the hearts of these thy men, that they will be lonely with the lonely, depressed with the depressed, that they will love the unloving. This is our prayer in thy name. Rollo May, in his book, Man's Search for Himself, relates a parable that has had great meaning to me. The king of a foreign land, tiring of a diplomatic reception, slept out and went down the hall and was standing looking out a window overlooking the street, passing by the palace. He saw walking along there a man hurrying to catch the bus to make his way to his home. And he thought as the man passed along what the situation would be upon his arrival home. He would greet the wife, the children. He would have the evening meal with them, read the paper, retire. And on the morrow, he would arise and go to his work. In much the same fashion as he had day in and day out through the years. The thought suddenly occurred to the king, what would happen if I should take him and encage him like the animals in a zoo? Next day he called in a psychologist, told him of his idea, and invited him to observe the experiment. A cage was brought from the zoo. The man was captured and brought and encaged in it. The man at first was simply bewildered. He kept saying to the psychologist, I have to catch my bus. I have to get to work. I'll be late. But later in the day, he began to realize what was happening. And he began to protest vehemently. The king can't do this to me. It's against the law. It's unjust. His voice was strong, and his eyes were full of anger. During the rest of the week, the men continued his vehement protest. When the king walked by the cage, as he did each day, he made his protest directly to the monarch. And the king answered, look here, you have plenty of food, you have a good bed, you don't have to work, we take good care of you, why are you objecting? After some days, the man's protest lessened and then ceased. He would sit in his cage in silence, refusing generally to talk. After a few weeks more, the man began to discuss with the psychologist how it was a useful thing for a man to be given food and shelter. That man had to live by his faith in any case. And that part of man's wisdom was to accept his faith. When a group of professors and graduate students came one day to observe, he was friendly toward them and explained that he had chosen this way of life, that there were great values in security and being taken care of, and that they would, of course, see how sensible was this course. In the succeeding days, when the king would walk through, the man would fawn upon him from behind the bars and thank him for the food and shelter. When food was passed through the bars by the keeper, the man now often would drop the dishes and dump the water and then be embarrassed because of his stupidity and clumsiness. His conversation became increasingly one-track and his sentences simple sentences. Soon he had no anger, no hate, no rationalizations. Does it not seem that all the world this day is in a cage? We cannot deal with urbanization and industrialization. The wife spends her living days in the home, cleaning, laundry, looking after children. I visited recently in a hospital a 39-year-old woman, aged far beyond her years. She had never been more than 50 miles away from the tenant farm until the day that she was brought to the hospital. She was work exhausted and emotionally drained. In her effort to seek release from her cage, she was almost successful in an effort to end her life. Women are fleeing the drudgery of housework, the confinement of home, and the deserting children they have borne as they seek release from their cage. Life magazine, in an issue this fall, had a vivid presentation of work in an automobile assembly plant. One man does nothing but install the window pane in the right front door of an automobile. He performs this task 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year. I have a friend who is employed as a weaver in a textile plant. He works from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. on the same spot, at the same machine, in the same plant. The likelihood is that he will work in this spot 15,750 days, 2,250 weeks, until retirement releases him from his cage. He may then find that he cannot leave his cage. Our young people are in cages in school. They answer dutifully questions found at the end of textbook chapters. They commit to memory the necessary material needed to gain favor of professors and to hopefully pass college boards. They pay obeisance to King Principal and King Teacher. Many find that narcotics making cagemen more endurable. Jesus proclaimed in the synagogue at Nazareth that he had been anointed to preach good tidings to the poor, and that he had been sent to proclaim release to captives. God needs men this day who will also proclaim release to captives. Men who will listen to the housewife and learn from her. Men who will help add a Christian perspective to our home. Men who will lead in the adding of a God dimension to parenthood. God needs men who will lead the working man in the development of true Christian stewardship and the formation of partnerships with God. A man performing back-breaking work in the dust of a quarry was asked what he was doing. His answer was, "I am building a cathedral." What a change comes when a man's work becomes a means to a noble end rather than an end within itself. What would happen if a sizable number of working men were released? Pastors are needed who will help young people discern their true life potential, who can help them determine what God would have them be and become. What release can come when the student begins to dream of being the technician, the doctor, the minister, that he knows under God he can't be. The emotional reactions of the man in the cage are interesting. First, he was angry at his captor. He then developed some hatred toward him. Finally, there was nothing but self-pity. Do we not need to let our encaged people speak to us this day? We must understand the hatred of labor for the men and machines that enslave them. for the men in the establishment that puts them in uniform and on the battlefield. We must understand the enslaving conditions of the home, the numbing effects of school regimentation. Anger, hatred, resentment must not destroy man's spirit. Initiative, insight, artistic talent must not be lost. People must not live their days in self-pity. Has not God anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor? Does he not need you to proclaim release to captives? May we pray together. God grant that these thy servants may be agents through whom men attain eternal realities. This is our prayer.